Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of the hour by myself. I'm flying solo today, and it is my privilege. And as I am called upon to broadcast by myself, I am wont to make fuller use of the scriptures. A couple of weeks back, we began looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesian church as found in the New Testament. We're going to take a second, if not third, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Allow me, please, to read Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is a text that I dearly love. I first encountered it in a meaningful way while visiting with family in Wales, over in the United Kingdom. I was looking out a window, and there was the beautiful view of the Welsh hills, and I was trying to memorize this text, and I discovered several things concerning the text. Number one, it has a beautiful inherent cadence. If you take the time, and if you will give measurement to this first chapter of Ephesians. It has a lyricism, a cadence, a lyrical cadence unto itself. It also is a marvelous, if you will, kind of checklist. And I don't wish to vulgarize the biblical text, but it's a kind of checklist as to what God has done on our behalf. The spiritual blessings of which he speaks, they are laid out and enumerated, one after the other, in these verses of Ephesians chapter 1. We have already addressed in an earlier broadcast the opening salvo, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a standard Pauline salutation to God's people. It's a marvelous opening epistolary salvo, and it encompasses so much. It speaks of who Paul is. He is an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am a pastor, a preacher, to some more minor degree, an evangelist. But I am not an apostle. Paul was an apostle. He joined ranks with the 12 who ministered alongside of Christ in the narratives of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul came along a bit later, but was of comparable authority and purpose. And he was such an apostle by the will of God. I can tell you, friends, that you don't want to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or an apostle or prophet if you have not received God's call upon your life, if it is not his express and explicit will. I can tell you also again that if it is his will, you would do well to surrender and to submit and not to buck against. Be mindful, if you are so called, be mindful as to why you are called. You are called to minister, I quote now, to the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. The people of God, their welfare has been entrusted into our care. The proclamation of the gospel going forth to the outermost ends of the earth, has been entrusted to our care. This is a most high calling from and in Jesus Christ. It must be treated with sobriety. It must also be expressed with joy. To the saints who are in Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus, Paul gives a qualifying description of who the saints are. They are the ones who are faithful in the Lord. Many people profess to be Christian. Many people may profess sincerely so to be Christians. But are they being faithful? And if so, are they being fruitful in the cause and for the purpose of Christ? A very fundamental question of the utmost import. And Paul goes on to say, again by way of recap, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and Jesus are one. We may add into the equation the Holy Spirit. The word Trinity is never to be found in the Bible, but the concept is Father, Son, Spirit, one God, three persons, yet one God. And coming forth from the Father and from the Lord Jesus is the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But like Jesus, Paul had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you will, and I'm speaking broadly and perhaps even a touch loosely, he is the manifestation, the embodiment, if you will, the going forth of God the Father and God the Son. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we exercise our high calling, that we minister to and prove to be a blessing to God's people. We come from God. We would do well to substantiate who he is and what his heart and mind desire and intend to do. and courtesy of the Holy Spirit, the operative power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, it can be done. God working in us, God working through us, it can and will be done. And as Jesus said in one of the gospel narratives, if we are not being obedient, if we are not speaking forth with the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said that the rocks and the stones themselves shall cry out to his glory. And friends, if I may put it this way, if we are outclassed, outgunned, outmanned, outdone by inanimate rocks and stones, it is to our chagrin, it is to our shame, it is debilitating and demoralizing, and it needn't and shouldn't be. All praise, honor, and glory to the Lord God Almighty by way of his called men and women of God. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Returning afresh with the Apostle Paul, at least his writings, and in particular his letter to the Ephesian church in Eurasia. Paul goes on to say, and I'm just going to give a brief return to the text, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Now, when I last shared from this text, I accentuated the fundamental dictum for the believer in Christ that we exist first and foremost for God's glory. But contained within the glory of God, I have always found, is our blessing. Hence, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God is in the blessing business. That is not his exclusive work. God is also in the judging business. God is in the convicting business, as he is in the comforting and consoling business. He's in the business of directing us and guiding us. But please understand that if he chooses to or wishes to bless us, which he does, his blessings come by way of the blessing and glory that is ascribed to him. God is glorious unto himself. He is glorious in the heavenlies. As and when he manifests himself on this planet, he is glorious. All praise, honor, and glory be ascribed to the Lord God Almighty. The angels understand this. You know what? Even the demons understand it. I think animals, in their own way, certainly at an instinctive level, if not a conceptual one, understand it. I remember my little kitty named Lucy. She was just not a cat who would purr. But on Friday nights, my wife and I would host a prayer meeting in our living room. And some 5, 6, 7, 8 people would join us on any given Friday night. And Lucy would get onto my lap during that prayer session, and as we prayed, Lucy would purr. Now that is the only time she ever purred, when she was on my lap during Friday night prayer sessions. I believe that she was sensate, if you will, to the presence of God. She would not have been able to conceptualize, but she was certainly sensate on an instinctive level. And I always took her purring to be a sense of being at peace in the presence of the one who created her. But it was in her own instinctive way, a giving back of glory to the Father. A cute story, I also believe a profound one. And if it's true of cats, how much more should it be true of God's people who are cognizant, sentient, endowed creatures, men and women made in the image and likeness of God. men and women whose hearts and minds, indeed their bodies, have become temples of the Holy Spirit. We are sensate consciously to the presence of the Almighty, and it is for us to render him glory. And for those who do, it is for God. Praise the Lord, but it is for God to bless us, and therefore it is for us to be blessed by God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. Christ is the locus and the focal point. Christ is the conduit by which and through which such blessings do come. If your life begins to blossom and bloom, it is by way of Christ, if it's of God, if the blessing comes from God. For you see, every spiritual blessing has been given to us in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that one finds in the heavenly places has been here and now given to us in Christ. You know, you travel to different portions of the world. You want to go into South America for coffee beans. You want to go to some kind of tropical climate for mango. You know, you can go to the southern portions of the UK along the coastline, down in, I guess it would be, forgive me, the name of the town is escaping me in Britain, I'm sorry, but the lower coastline, and then cross the Irish Sea and find yourself in Dublin. You will see palm trees. I didn't realize that until my wife and I visited the UK way back when. But you can find palm trees on the southern regions of the United Kingdom. Go to New England in the fall or into the Pocono Mountain Range for glorious autumnal color in the autumnal months. But if you want blessings from God, if you want every spiritual blessing there is to be had in Jesus Christ, you must go to him. They are found in him. They are to be had from him. They are ours courtesy of, via, our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything is contained within him, every blessing. And there are many, many blessings to be had, not least of which is the fact that by way of Jesus, we have been chosen. I quote the text, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, with the foundation of the world and indeed the entire universe is set in place. And there's nothing man can do. For all of the global climate allegations and charges and volleys and salvos, and no doubt there is global change, although I'm not certain it's quite what it's being promoted to be. I think it's a natural playing out of factors in the way the world has been established. But that being said, with climate change, please, we must understand that we can hurt the planet, but we can't kill it. We can't destroy it. It's not possible. It's built into the texture and fabric of the universe. And before that very rock-solid foundation was established, you and I were blessed. You and I were chosen, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? Did he choose us so that we could be cocky and boastful and proud and arrogant and consider ourselves to be spiritual elite? Not at all. He chose us, and I quote, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Now, the fact that apart from him, we are neither holy nor blameless should be humbling. The fact that in Christ we may be and become holy and blameless should be encouraging and heartening. And I want to think of what the great Leslie Newbegin had to say about our being chosen by God. Leslie Newbegin was an elderly Englishman who had lived and ministered in India for many decades, a very distinguished, godly servant of Christ. And Newbegin made the comment that for those of us who consider ourselves, because the Word of God tells us that we are, elect of God, we are elect not for some kind of smug self-satisfaction. We are elect that we might declare before the world the glory of God. And the best way we can do that, first and foremost, is by becoming holy and blameless before God. Praise the Lord, Brad Lacey, the great message. We return for a third round in just a moment. Brad Lacey returning for a third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are taking a look at the spiritual blessings that are ascribed to those who follow Jesus. And let me just run through the list. We've already spoken to the effect that these blessings are a full complement of blessings. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. They come direct from God. And what are they? Well, first and foremost, we have seen that we have been chosen. God has, in his love for us, chosen us before the world was even created. He chose us to be something that is beautiful in his sight, to be holy and blameless before him. Now, I remember, friends, when I was in grade school, and it was gym class time, and we would go outside to play kickball. And all the kids would line up, and two kids would be appointed as captains, and they would select who they wanted on their respective teams. My brother and I, my two dear friends, John and Dom, we were always the last ones to be chosen. We were deemed to be the dregs of humanity, and we were only selected because they had to take us before all was said and done. It was a bit humiliating. We were not the jocks of our elementary school. With time, I would become a pastor, my brother would become a lawyer, Dom would become a lieutenant colonel, 82nd Airborne, pretty tough guy. John would be a man who made life worth living. But that being said, we weren't chosen voluntarily. And it was a bit demoralizing, to put it mildly. But Almighty God has chosen us. He had to have chosen us with a degree of fervor, because he did it before anything else was done. And he had to have been so happy to do it, because he gave us everything. He blessed us with everything. And he wanted us to be beautiful in his sight. Gentlemen, is there a lady in your life? She is beautiful to your sight and to your heart. God wanted his people to be beautiful before him. We would be holy and blameless before God. And then it goes on to say that in love, God, you know, it's going to sound a little hokey, and I don't mean it in the literal sense. It's not a literal parallel. But you know how you may fall in love? Well, God, in a sense, fell in love with us. Certainly, by his very nature, he is love. God is love. That's what the Word of God says. But in being love, he has a deep and abiding love for us. So we read that in love, he predestined us to the praise of his glorious grace. God predestined us. That is, he elected, he chose us before time and space were anything. We were in his heart. He brought us forth from his heart, his loving heart. Praise God. It was determined that he was going to bring us forth, take us out of the muck and mire, and lift us up into the heavenlies. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. He predestined us for adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ. You and I, if we are followers of him, that is, followers of Jesus, we have been adopted into the family. Now, there was a day when adoption was a kind of stigma. No more. Praise God, no more. We were grafted in, according to the Apostle Paul. We were adopted in, according to the Apostle Paul. I love the concept of adoption. I was like a little puppy in a shelter, begging for a home, and someone came along, and I was just the apple of their eye, and I went home with tail wagging to a warm, loving home. We have been adopted into the family of believers. I love the language and the imagery that the Word of God uses. We are adopted sons and daughters. We are citizens of God's kingdom. We are members of His household. We are soldiers and ambassadors of His kingdom. Now, the particular metaphor applied here, and it's more than merely a metaphor, we truly become the adopted children of God. And it happens not through the Catholic Adoption Agency or a state adoption agency. It happens through Jesus Christ. Praise God. And this is according to the purpose of His will. God's will is, God's purpose is such that you and I be adopted into His family, lovingly, joyfully adopted. We are on the receiving end of the hospitality of all that is holy, courtesy of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And this is to the praise of His glorious grace. In love, He predestined us for adoption as His sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. Once again, yet again, all is to the glory of God. The glory of God is the fundamental categorical dictum and imperative of the Christian. The rocks and the stones will cry out to His glory, says Jesus, if we don't glorify Him. The angels are glorifying God. Granted, they exist in eternity and outside of time, but to use human language, they are giving glory to God round the clock. God has chosen us to be His very own, to the praise of His glorious grace. Before you do anything else, once you have come to Christ, once you have made Him your Savior and Lord, once you have become integral to His family and His world, to His kingdom, we must give glory to God. That should be the first cry of the regenerated, born again, new heart and mind, that we give praise to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has freely blessed us in the Beloved. With which He has blessed us. He's done it freely. He's done it lovingly. He's done it joyfully. He's done it earnestly. He's done it intently and purposefully. But He has so blessed us in the Beloved, that is, in Jesus Christ. Christ is the Beloved of God. Christ should be the Beloved of His people. We may often speak, for instance, of our spouse as being our Beloved, a worthy and honorable and quite appropriate bit of nomenclature. But is not God also our Beloved, God the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He is the Beloved Son, with a capital S. He is our Beloved Lord and Savior, with a capital L and a capital S. Praise God that He has done this in love for us. And in compliment, we go on to read that in Him, because these blessings come through Him, therefore, in Him, number one, we have redemption through His blood. We have, number two, the riches of His grace. We have, number three, the fact that He has made known to us the mystery of His will. And number four, that all of this has been set forth in our beloved Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. First, we have redemption through His blood. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We've been bought back with a price, the price of His shed blood. You know, preachers with the best of intentions, and I've no doubt used it, the phrase myself, will say that that salvation is free. Well, on one level it is. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And yet, it is not free in the sense that a price had to be exacted. It wasn't exacted by us, the beneficiaries. It was exacted by Jesus Christ by way of his shed blood on the cross. It is the blood of Christ that is the price exacted. It is by way of the blood of Christ that you and I are redeemed or bought back from the law, from the devil, from the authority, if you will, of our sin. We were bought back with a price. We have redemption through his blood, and therefore we have also the forgiveness of our trespasses. What a wonderful, beautiful thing it is to know that we stand before God Almighty, I mean the judge of heaven and earth, and we stand before him as holy and blameless in his sight. What an extraordinary thing. Only God, only God, only by way of God is this even possible. We've been redeemed, bought back, courtesy of Jesus Christ on the cross. That, friends, what more can one say to the praise of his glorious grace? Hallelujah. Brad Lacey with the great message, one more round. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. A brief word as an aside, if I may. First, please, I invite you to turn to your computers or your cell phones, whatever your devices are, and look to voicesofphiladelphia.org. I quote afresh, voicesofphiladelphia.org, and you will find a marvelous audio Bible in the works. We have the entirety of the New Testament uploaded, and we are utilizing known voices throughout the city, whether from the media or from the pulpits or elsewhere. If you were not inclined to reckon with God's word, but you know and trust and even love the voice, perhaps you will want to reckon now with God's word. And so please take a look. Again, the entirety of the New Testament has been uploaded. It's a handsome sight. We are in the process of recording the Old Testament. So a little bit of time is still needed if you will be patient. Also, please, Saturday, October 3rd, Lifting Up Jesus at the Miller Theater. We're hoping to bring 1,800 people together, for that's what the theater or the venue can hold. And we want to bring 1,800 of God's people into that theater, literally to lift up the name of Jesus. I have the privilege of overseeing the project. Saturday afternoon, a matinee, October 3rd, Lifting Up Jesus at the Miller Theater. Please give thought to coming, and you can even let me know, okay? You can let me know. Now, back to the Apostle Paul, back to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, back to the listing of blessings that have been ascribed to God's people. Again, number one, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. It's an even more wonderful thing to forgive. And Christ says, you will not be forgiven if you do not forgive others of their sins against you. But praise God, in and through Christ, we stand forgiven. So we've been redeemed by way of his blood. We've been forgiven of our sins, debts, and trespasses. The whole shebang, friends. Our sinful nature, our sinful proclivities, our sinful deeds, our sinful behaviors, our sin-infested systems, everything has been redeemed and washed in the blood where the presence of Christ is to be found. And we've been forgiven. We are a forgiven people. You know, I had heard at one time that psychological patients, psychotherapy patients, could learn to forgive themselves, 90% of that profession would dry up overnight. That is how fundamentally significant the issue of forgiveness or lack thereof is. And what stands betwixt God and ourselves is the presence and the operative power and performance of our sin. And in and through and by Christ, we have been bought back courtesy of his blood. We have been redeemed courtesy of his blood. We have been forgiven of our trespasses courtesy of the blood of Jesus. And this is in accordance with the riches of his grace. God has not been sparse in the shelling out the bestowal of his blessings. The riches of his grace have been lavishly bestowed. That is the language of Scripture. The riches of his grace have been lavishly bestowed upon us. And he didn't just pour it out indiscriminately. You know, I remember working at Logan Airport during a storm. This was back in the 80s. And we had this 747 right outside the window. It couldn't go anywhere because of the storm. But the airport personnel, they were showering, lavishing upon the airplane the stuff that, effectively, the stuff that we use to de-ice our windshields on our cars. And they were just pouring this stuff onto the airplane, upon the wings especially. They were doing so powerfully, they were doing so lavishly, they were also doing so indiscriminately. But God is not indiscriminate. God is wise. God is discerning and perceptive. So when he just lavishes upon us the riches of his grace, he does so according to the word of God in all wisdom and insight. God wisely and rightly knows how to lavish upon us his wisdom. He knows if we're ready for one aspect of it or we are not. He knows if we need it or simply want it. He is as discerning a God as there is, and he is the only God. There is none other. But our God is great. Our God is awesome. Our God is good. Our God is all wise and discerning. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And now number three, making known to us the mystery of his will. You know, often people cry out, why? Christians do this as well, and it's not an illegitimate query. Why, Lord? Why me? Why now? Why this? They are honest questions. We do not always have answers. They are not always given to us. Often it will remain a mystery. But what is also a mystery, and in complement to and in keeping with, what is also a mystery is the God's will and the purpose of his will. And we can know this on faith, that whatever it is we're crying out about, whatever it is that is troubling us or besetting us, we know that in accordance with God's will, we're okay. According to his purpose, there is some reason behind the tribulation or trauma. And if we give it over to God and remain faithful and persevere, all will be well and we will be the better. I know that of all of the endurances I've gone through, I have come out the better for them. I've come out stronger, wiser. Praise God. We become aware that we are integral to God's will and purpose. And all things, says the word of God, Romans chapter 8, all things, whether good or bad, whether wanted or unwanted, whether beautiful or ugly, all things work to the good of them that love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. He set forth his purpose in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. Friends, when all is said and done, all of human history, whatever is incorporated into the framework of human history, all is being directed, all is being funneled, all is ultimately converging on that which brings glory to God and brings all things under him and in unison with him. What a glorious truth. Not enough time to truly explore it right now, but what a glorious truth. Praise be to God and his glorious grace. Hallelujah. Brad Lacey with the great message. I wish you God's grace and blessing in every way. Bye-bye.